and we had, I think there was a bay that went with Joe as a team. And then there was a pair of blacks.
The blacks were before.
Jim and Coley.
Yeah.
So you had like two horses?
Two teams.
Four
horses.
Steiner has been telling me lately about how he remembered the church, Bethany Church, was turned. Dad did it with Jim and Coley.
Turned it, huh?
And I've been trying to get Steiner to write this down. Write it down. They had a turnstile. You see, the church was facing this way, and now it faces this way. Mm-hmm. And they had a turnstile out here that Coley went around and around all day long, and it turned the church. I don't know if Steiner will ever get it written down, but
he's older enough to know.
Maybe we interject here and explain what Steiner's relationship is to the family.
Steiner was our cousin, my mother's brother's son.
And his farm was adjacent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Next door.
We raised potatoes until I think they had to be sprayed so much because of blight. And the school children had potato picking vacation in the fall and would come out and pick potatoes by hand. We had a digger that we pulled with a tractor. I don't remember, when did we get that tractor, the first tractor? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
It probably was in the 30s. And I remember we had potatoes above Ina Powell's, and it was long rows, and we used the digger and the John Deere tractor, but we couldn't get up the hill. So we had the team out there too, and hooked the team in front of the tractor to pull it up the hill, to help get it up the hill.
Because there was just so much drag when it
was
too
low.
You paw in the dirt when you're digging potatoes.
And we had a potato storage. Mm-hmm. How many bushels of potato?
Would it be about 3,000 bushels of potatoes we put in it, something like that.
And then in the winter we graded them out and
into 100-pound sacks.
Right.
Would load them. This was when I was when we were at school, teenagers or whatever.
Yeah.
And my uncle then, Magnus Fredrickson, who had farms up here and had farms in Empire, and they still have the farms in Empire, was a trucker that would go, and we'd load this little semi with 100-pound bags of potatoes, and he'd haul them to Ohio or other places. And this was, it had to be the year after I graduated, which would have been in 1939, that I used to go with him and haul potatoes down to Lima, Ohio, and even into Chicago. And we'd leave here, drive all day and all night, and we might sleep in a flop house once in 3 or 4 days before we come back.
Now, did he turn them over to somebody down there? Or
yeah, sell them.
Sell them wholesale.
Some wholesaler place down there.
So he took your potatoes, and he was like a potato buyer up here?
Yeah, and he'd buy from other people, but I remember we used to get from your all the ones that we had. With him, because he'd go down there, and he had this farm in Empire where it is now, and he had cattle over there, and we'd go in Ohio and pick up a whole load of straw to fill the semi full to haul it back to the farm up there in Empire. Well, that was the way the routine went, but yeah. We raised quite a few potatoes.
Can you describe to me your potato storage?
It was underground.
Dug into
basically
a bank.
Into a bank. It's where our big building is out there now. And that's still into the bank because we took that all out. But then above it, we had put just a frame building on top of the potato storage.
Did you
and
do anything?
That was used for storage, and I used to have it set up with bunks for cherry pickers.
But the storage, it was just like a basement.
Yeah, it was open. It was all underground except the front, where there were doors, big doors that were
just a door was sticking.
Stone wall in there, or was it just
walls?
Yeah. And a mud floor. And after Magnus stopped hauling potatoes, we had Bonnie Strang come. That was probably after you left.
So you never used field storage?
Because I went into service in 40 and never come back till in late 47.
Before we get out of this mode, we talked about, and I think we need to work with some maps sometime and figure out where you did things, but what kind of soil types did you have on the farm? Soil types.
Soil types. The standard. I don't have those. But it was what they call a sandy loam, basically all over. There wasn't any heavy clay or anything this way. Some few areas there, across from the buildings up on that hill, was pretty near all sand, except one area where it was fine stone with it. And the buildings, the barn today, and we used to have what was a chicken house and all that, were built out of the cement was made on the farm and made blocks to build these buildings. My dad, we'd pour all this cement and make our own blocks, which were 8 inches high, 4 inches wide, 3 foot long. At the farm, and we made all those blocks with that he built the barn with.
Was that something people did around here regularly, or just something you guys did?
No, we just did that because that was the easy place to get this good sand with gravel in it for making cement.
So the soil type on your farm was typical of what was all over
area.
Okay.
But like I say, there was a ridge there that was sandy.
I think some of that even went into the old schoolhouse, didn't it, at one time when they were building some of that sand or something?
Now, your orchards, they were on, were they on slopes, though?
Yeah, this is all easterly slope here.
Okay. I don't think there's much of a level spot on the whole farm.
Okay. And it was behind the buildings here is a wood lot, and that's still a wood lot. And over here on this area here is a wood lot, the small one up here. This one is where we cleared the area that was farmable that I remember working with.
We'll have to do some of this with maps. I can see it'll be easier where you do that. Were there vegetable gardens?
Oh, yes.
For our own use.
Yeah. What did you raise in the garden? Who did the raising?
I think Mother did a lot of it.
What did she raise?
Carrots, tomatoes, maybe some early potatoes, peas. She always said when George was born in April that year, she had peas 6 inches tall already. Tomatoes and
sweet
corn and the usual. Maybe some strawberries.
And we had, of course, chickens, our own eggs. The only thing we'd go is take a crate of 12 dozen eggs down to the store in Northport and trade this
for the groceries.
Flour and sugar.
Did she have grow herbs too?
No,
not really. No. Norwegians are mostly milk and cream and
meat and potatoes.
Okay, we've talked about what other vegetation or animal life on the farm. Did you have a wood lot that you kept continuing? Did you plant any trees?
And
besides fruit trees? Any
windbreaks? We planted some. I did. I planted pine trees, white pine and red pine. And those up there on this sandy stretch, they're still there today, which was nothing but sand, that ridge through there.
What other kind of animal life is on the farm?
Well, there's always your squirrels and your rabbits and
kitties.
Kitties.
And the dog.
And deer nowadays, there's always been some fox around. But nothing that bothered anything much.
No deer?
There's deer now, but there wasn't deer.
I don't remember seeing a deer when I grew up.
No, I don't remember
seeing. Or bear?
No.
No. mother remembered when she was young, she saw one walk along the bluff, she said. But that was about it. I think probably the Indians did a lot of hunting for their existence before the white man even came. And
wasn't many deer that I ever remember around the area.
So that wasn't part of what you ate then?
No, no.
Yeah.
We just had our own beef and pork. We'd always kill hogs and smoke the pork.
And the chickens. And mother would usually get like 200 chicks, and they'd come in on the train, and then they'd take it up to the post office, and boy, the post office called, "Your chickens are here, your chickens are here."
Right now.
And we'd run right down there because it was peep, 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 peep. And as the chickens grew, she'd pick out the male chickens, and they were sold to the log cabin for their dinners.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other hens were kept for the eggs in the winter.
Now, what variety of chickens did they have?
Usually leghorns. What, you know, they would come, there were 25 in a little square in a box, and she'd count them, and she'd dip them in water and in food, and then they'd go under the brooder. And once in a while, there'd be an odd chick in there. And they always gave a few extra.
Right.
But that was the way she helped out with the income, too.
One thing that we're kind of interested in, just to go back and realize that someone may listen to this in the far, far future, is what was the role of your dad? I'm trying to address, you know, what was your mother's job? What was your children's job? What was your dad's jobs on the farm?
Dad did the farming. Mother did the garden and the housework, and would help out in the farm, you know, as she was able to, with the milking machines, washing those and tending to those. And I think they helped each other as much as they could.
What were your jobs?
Getting in the wood.
Carrying in the wood, yeah. And helping in the house. And then when George left for the service, I got the job as tractor driver.
To help, you know, with the farming, the driving horses,
yeah,
and elevating,
yeah,
and dragging, and I don't remember I did too much plowing, but you know, working the field when I was big enough to do all that. I wasn't very big, I don't think, when I first did it. I remember he just planted that tart cherry orchard up on the hill, and the trees were probably about maybe three, four years old or whatever it was. They weren't very big. I was supposed to drag the orchard, to have them, you know, with the team. And I went down there on next to Garthy's on the south end and went around that corner, and the team went flying around the corner, and I took out one of those little trees. And I heard about that.
It wasn't so bad. I had to disc the orchard with a tractor, and I went around too fast on one corner, and I put a tree in the last section of the disc, and I couldn't get it off.
The practice then was to plow, keep the weeds out of the orchard.
Yeah, they were clean,
right.
Cultivated.
Clean.
Right. Dad supplemented the farm income by driving school bus. He did that for many, many years. And
started with a team in the wintertime. School bus on sleighs, that's what we all went to school with,
mm-hmm.
And then a Model T Ford
in the summer,
fall.
And on August,
so was it a special sleigh with the
it was
when
closed?
He had a route, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
It was
the caboose.
Out west of town here.
Did the school furnish the special sleigh, or did your dad was, that's
yeah,
part
I
of his contract was
that.
To,
I don't know.
I think that he, they, I have a thing of August 4th, 1924. He wrote on a piece of paper, which I still have, "I will drive the same route, number 8, like I did last year, for $70 a month or $630 for the 9 months." And I think that they had to furnish their own.
We had to furnish things. The chassis.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Model T Ford chassis.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the wood school bus. You've seen pictures of those old wood school buses they have. And the seats were on the side. You faced each other. Mm-hmm. They weren't very wide.
And
it was the Ford Mali, the
winter caboose had straw in the bottom of it because it was cold and it took a while to get to school. And Mother would heat bricks in the oven, put them in guinea sacks, and they were laid in the straw, and we could put our feet on those. Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't get through, you opened a man's fence and you drove across the fields.
You didn't follow the road too much.
And so then we had to cut across from the Stanley Garthy farm, back of the cemetery, across Garthy Lake there. And I remember going home one time and the snow was so deep the horses couldn't get through. And so Dad got out and he tramped a path so the horses could go through. Mm-hmm. Boy.
It was up to their bellies and they could pull the sleigh and jump with it. See.
Mm. Can you imagine the modern girls today going to school with their feet in straw? And the schoolrooms,
the
big registers had all our wet mittens and our woolen leggings, and it smelled like wet wool all day.
In terms of the roles of that your parents had, and even the ones that you came into when you were doing farming, how did the role change from what your dad do to what you did?
Well, basically, he got milking machines. We were kids. Otherwise, it was all milked by hand. Mm-hmm. And I continued that way after I came back and went on the farm and worked with my dad. Because I being in the service 7.5 years, why he wanted to know whether I wanted, if he should lease the farm or sell the farm, or if I was going to come home, or if I was going to make a career out of the Coast Guard or not. And so I came home, and that's after that. Next year, Elaine and I, we were married and lived there on the farm and worked with my dad. And we lived in the house just above where the present house is, the little house is up there. That's what my grandfather built, that house in 1920, just before he died. Mm. And my grandmother lived there when we were kids. And that's where we moved, Elaine and I, and lived there a few years before. 3-4 years before they built this house here.
And this house was built in
51.
In 49 and 50, because we were married in 49 and it was being built then.
Because they moved in 51 down here. But anyway, I worked with him. We had the cattle and raised potatoes. And I started to put in, then I wanted more fruit trees, more orchards. I started on our own, Elaine and I. We put in a sweet cherry orchard on all 20 acres behind the house that's there now, and then also the orchards up above Paul's and up in that area, across that area of the farm. Ended up, I had milk cows until Pat Hawkins lost his herd to TB, and then I sold my Holstein cows to him and went just all hogs, raising feeder pigs and little ones and all that. Got to, when the feeder pig market went to pot, then I got rid of the pigs.
What year was that about?
That'd have to have been in the 60s. Because when I got rid of them, I had a lot of the orchards in, but they weren't producing enough to really make my living off of it. And I had, same way I was, I drove a school bus here for Northport for 15 years. And then I went to work for Harry Calhoun in construction and whatever had to be done for a few years until I was, and I also had the job of supervisor of Little Hall Township, trying to make enough to keep groceries going while the trees were growing, mm-hmm. the fruit trees. And then after that, I was elected county treasurer, and then I quit my bus driving and all these other jobs that I had in order to do that. Of course, at that time, too, my father was one of the original ones, and my dad, Nels, was of Cherryland Electric on the board. I don't know how many years he was on the board there, but when he couldn't go, he was living here then. Then they appointed me. Gary got married, that's what it was.
How did you think, when you were growing up, how did you see your mother's role change on the farm, or did it? What things affected it? Would it?
Well, after they retired, of course, and lived down here, then she didn't go back up to the farm mm-hmm. and do those things, but she did them here. I don't think her role changed too much.
Housewife.
When did the farm get electricity?
In about 1940.
When I wasn't there, because I was in the service.
Either 40 or 41, I think. But it was quite something. We had only kerosene lamps all those years, all the years we went through school.
Sit at the dining table with a kerosene lamp doing our homework.
So after electric came through, what changes did you see then? Because you were the witness to that.
Oh, it was wonderful. And Dad was on the Cherryland board. And I remember him saying often, electricity is the wonderful thing, you know. It's really cheap. It does so much.
Oh, Norwegian. Frugality, right?
For all that it did, you know, it really was.
An electric pump for pumping the water from the well. We used to have a gasoline engine and with a pump.
Oh, a great big thing.
And that would go pop, 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 and pop, 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 and that's the way it runs. And we pumped the water to a cistern on the hill west of the house. Mm-hmm. And then the piping came down, which fed the barns for drinking cups for the cattle and all this stuff.
Is that cistern still there?
Yeah.
What was the first thing they put in? Light?
Electricity. Chris Nielsen came and wired the house, and I never take down a globe to this day. But what I remember, what his advice was, like the ones in the one in the over the kitchen table there, don't screw those screws in tight, he said. You can put them in tight, but then always go back a little bit. Because if there's a shake or a shock or something, it'll crack it. He told me that, and I've never forgotten it.
What was the
refrigerator?
Okay, that was another one you got.
Was very important because we only had an ice box before. Dad would there was a ice house like on the farm at one time, but then we got our ice downtown. There was a big ice house
where
in town.
Where the marina is was a big ice house.
Did you cut your own, or?
Well, they cut it down there, and then we would help with hauling it. Is where we got ours years ago to put in this shed, which is next to our barn. It's still there. And the walls were filled with sawdust.
So, what? But was the ice cutting? You bought the ice, or was it a cooperative thing?
Well, I'm sure Dad would get it by working, helping them with hauling.
They got it out of Keel's Lake, and he would go and help cut and haul.
Get a share.
Or off of Paul's Bay. They used to cut the last I remember as a kid being out at Paul's Bay.
That's out by the bite.
By the bite out there. They'd haul it in. The voice was the coal trucking guy that would handle the ice place and all that.
They'd be in a bind this year, wouldn't they? So first of all, you got the lights, and then you got the electric pump and a refrigerator,
and the
washing machine.
eventually got a washing machine that was electric. We had a gas one. Mother took in laundry for a while so she could buy her washing machine, which was a gas powered. You had to step on a lever to get it to start. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was wash clothes by hand. And the milking machines and things like that came then too.
That was all pretty much before the war, or did some of those things wait till post-war?
Well, it was in the 40s.
Before I come home.
Yeah.
And you got home in
40s? Late 47.
What other technological changes came about that you think would dramatically change farm life? We talked about the tractor. When did we figure out what date your first tractor
came? Well, I think it was in the 30s.
It was early 30s.
What kind was it?
The John Deere.
John Deere. I looked up about tractors. All-purpose tractors were manufactured in the 1920s. So they hadn't been out too long. Milking machines went on the market in 1918, but of course we didn't have electricity then to run it.
So what other thing do you think was dramatic change? Tractor, electricity, anything
else?
Well,
we kept putting in more fruit, you know. And at one time I had a bunch of colonies of bees myself. And we have, now Gary has, like, did have 20, 24 colonies of bees that are out on the farm now for our pollinization of the orchards.
So you do your own rather than
we do our own now. But I did have them for a while, a few. Until I ended up getting allergic to them. Mm-hmm. What happened, you know, you'd be working on them with your bare hands and I'd get stung, pinching them between your fingers or something. And I'd swell all up and get, so I had to quit. And then I think that next year, whatever it is, I lost pretty near all of them to a winter kill.
I think that getting machinery to plant the corn too was something that came, you know, we used to plant with a hand planter.
Mm-hmm.
And we marked the field two ways and there was a little
what'd
X.
What did you use to mark the field?
Just a long wood pole with chains hanging off and one person on each end dragging across the field walking.
Or they eventually had a board with a little board stand.
Dad made a sled that he could
sled like that
horse.
Pulled. And you went both ways so that you could mark in that little X and you learned to swing that corn planter and
mm-hmm.
click it and take a step and swing it and
mm-hmm.
so you could go fast. And I think the crows knew exactly where every X was too because we had to always go back and replant.
Mm-hmm. So most of the crows would pull it up and eat the corn.
Yeah.
They ain't dumb. How about potato planting?
Well, it had, I guess, way back when, just the old hand planter that you carry a sack of potatoes.
But then they did get a potato planter.
Potato planter that had a, and this was before I was able to work as far as that goes, because Cedric lived out on the farm with my dad, and he rode the planter. There's pictures of him in some of these record books he wrote. My dad and a team of horses, and Cedric sitting on the back.
So they cut up seed potatoes?
Yeah, he'd cut up the potatoes,
yep.
Seed potatoes, so they'd be about that size.
You
so many eyes on a potato if it's a big one, so that it would.
You filled a bin, and then you had two little areas where you put potatoes, and somebody sat on a seat, and they came out in a ring. And that ring kept going around, and if there was a missed one, then you took one of your extras over here and put in that slot.
Mm.
So you rode the potato planter.
Two of them, you'd take one out or whatever happened to fall in. It was like a from the middle out was a round ring that went underneath this bin full of cut potatoes. And then we did have it. On the front of that was a fertilizer thing that would spread fertilizer.
So what do you use to fertilize potatoes?
I imagine it was 12, 12, 12, or, you know, standard.
Same as for
for whatever.
For corn.
I don't remember anything else special.
Did you put your manure on the field, too?
All of the
manure went there.
Back onto the field of the orchard.
Mm-hmm.
Dad had a holding tank, I guess you might call it, in the ground by the barn.
All the
juice went into that. And Mother hated that when the day came that he was going to empty that into a, he had what he called the coffin that he put it in.
The sled.
And then he would pull that through the orchards, pull out the spigots on the end and drive along. Mm-hmm. And all that good juice went all over the, on
so
the ground.
So he used that in the orchard, though.
And Mother had to wash those dirty clothes then.
Well, I used to do that when
yes,
I was there.
Yes, yes.
As long as I had cattle, we had this holding tank that probably hold maybe 150 gallons, I guess. And I'd bale it out and pump, put it into this like a stone bowl tank. It was an old sprayer tank, is what it was. Wood sprayer tank. And then when I got to the orchard, I'd pull the plug and drive along. And just.
That's your favorite day of the year, though.
Well. But it wasn't something that didn't bother me because when I worked for Harry Calhoun, he had what he called the honey wagon, and I did work with him on that, pumping sewage septic tanks.
That's worse. So you hand planted potatoes and you hand planted corn first of all, and then got planters in the when the 30s. After you got the tractor, then you got mechanical planters. How about
and
what
grain
was
drills and all that was all horse done until we could pull them with a tractor.